Well, good morning. Hey, can I get a couple guys? Eli, would you come? Maybe Pastor Peter, help me move this pulpit up here. I've got my hands a little bit full this morning. And man, come on, who's glad to be in the house of God this morning? Let me hear from you. Hasn't it already been good? The presence of God is just so good. And thank you, Pastor Eli. That was a one-man job. I was trying to make it into a two-man job. Is spring forward? Is the time change next week the good one or the bad one? Oh. You mean it's the one where you get up at 6 a.m. and it's 7 a.m.? Or you go to bed at 10:30 and it's really 11:30? That's no good. Well, I'm announcing the arrival of spring this week. I'm wearing short sleeves. Me and Damon, short sleeves. Spring is here. March is here. March Madness is approaching. Come on. And how many of you are enjoying the warmer weather in February and March? The groundhog, a few weeks ago, the groundhog came out, and he saw a shadow, and that was supposed to be 6 more weeks of winter, right? And I saw that, and then I saw something funny. I saw people were protesting the groundhog. Like, there's just this atmosphere in our country right now, a protest. People saw that there was 6 more weeks of winter. I saw people protesting the groundhog. They were holding up signs that said, "Not my groundhog." Pray for him. Well, all right, if you have your Bible this morning, and I hope you do, either physically or on your phone there, let's see, where do I want you to turn? There's a lot of scripture that we're going to get into this morning, but turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and then we'll flip back to Matthew 13. There's a lot of other places I'll visit, but those are the two places where I probably want you to turn this morning. Man, it's so good to be back in the pulpit here this morning with my family and visiting and sharing the Word of God with you. And enjoyed the last couple weeks. I heard Pastor Eli did an amazing job 2 Sundays ago. And then I hope you enjoyed my dad and my mom last week. Yeah, just give it up for both of them. But we missed you guys, but grateful for Pastor Eli stepping up and giving us a chance. Amity and I got away for a few days and went up to New England, visited her grandparents who were aging, and flew into Boston where she was born in Texas, my beautiful wife, Amity, born in Texas, so she's a Texan, come on. But she was then raised for about 10-year window of her childhood in New England, still has family up there. So when we can, we like to get away, go up there. And we had a great time. The first night of our stay in the hotel that my wife, she's just like a crazy, amazing travel planner, you know, like she like plans it all online and she gets upgrades and things. Like, she has the favor of God for upgrades. And the first night we got there, they were kind of booked up. And so they put us in this room and we slept on a full bed, not even a queen bed, just like a full bed, you know. And my wife is like a sprawler, man. She's like spread eagle. Like, I don't mind, like, kind of snuggling up close. Like, I'm the snuggler, you know? And she's the one that's, like, get away from, like, she creates a pillow barricade. So I was watching it unfold that night, and I said, I can see prophetically what's going to happen tomorrow morning about 9 o'clock. She's going to go down to the front desk and activate the gift of upgrade that she has upon her life. It's a spiritual gift. And so, sure enough, she went down the next morning. We went down, and we encountered this young lady, and this young lady just heard our story. She said, we're away from our kids for a few days, you know, just the two of us, and we just came here to stay. We have a lot of just time. We're going to be spending in the room resting, relaxing. And she looked at us, and she said, "I'm going to hook you up." So she put us on the top floor. It was amazing, with the exception of the fire alarm test and the window washer that saw me in my underwear. Both of those are true stories, by the way. It was this amazing room with like this second room, like a little suite, and we had left the window shades open right there. And so I walked in the next, like one of the mornings, you know, and I'm just going out to make coffee, and there's a guy staring at me on the 14th floor right there through my window. And so I knew I had to close the shades or put on some clothes. And I elected to close the shades. And for some reason, I felt bad closing the shades on the guy. I felt bad. Like, I mean, I'm walking up to the window, you know, and he's there doing his work. He's hanging from a rope from the ceiling, from the roof of this building, washing my windows in my upgraded room on the 14th floor. And it just felt wrong going up, just being like, it just felt wrong for some reason. Like, I knew it had to happen, but I was like, thank you for what you're doing out there. But I'm in my underwear. So I have to close these. I'm not better than you. I just don't have any clothes on. So I'm just closing this right here, you know. But we had a great time. We saw her grandparents. We rested. We relaxed. We ate way too much. We got to snow ski one day, which is like our thing. And then I got humbled when I tried to snowboard for the last 2 hours of the day. Man, come on. This is not even my message. It should be a whole message in and of itself, you know, like the first 7 hours of the day, we're swooshing around the mountain on skis, you know, and we've skied some, so we're pretty decent at skiing. And Amity gets this bright idea, and she says, I wonder if they'll let us trade in our skis so we can try to snowboard. Because we've never wanted to dedicate when we do get to ski, it's just like for a day or maybe two at a time. And we've never wanted to really give up the joy and the fun that we have skiing to learn or relearn the process of something new, you know. Come on, there's a prophetic spiritual thing here. And she says, well, I wonder if they'll let us trade them in for snowboards. And I'm like, probably not. And I'm thinking, oh, dear God, please let them say no. She has the gift of upgrade. Did I tell you that? So she walks in, and I'm thinking, there's no way they'll let us do that. You know, they're going to be like, yeah, for a charge, you know, $70. And we walk in, and the guy just goes, absolutely, we'll do it, you know. And so I'm like, oh, great, you know. So I find myself on the bunny hill. This thing is, I mean, it's as flat can be. It's so flat that there's not even a lift on it. It's one of those little conveyor belts that you have to stand on, and it, like, takes you up, and it's barely even going up. And so I spent the next 2 hours on my backside and watching three-year-olds fly by. And one time, I caught one of the little five-year-olds, and I just said, hey, buddy, just 2 hours ago, I was really ripping a black diamond up on the top of the hill. You just need to know. You need to know. But can I tell you, God just spoke to me. I mean, it was humbling. Sometimes when God calls you to step out of your comfort zone into something new, something deeper, something that you never tried before. All right, I'll preach that whole message some other time. All right, so, man, I'm excited to be back. God's doing some stuff in our church and in our lives and in our city. I'm grateful that you're here, grateful that you're a part of it, grateful for what God's already done this morning in our lives, what he's still going to do as we visit his word this morning. And just a couple of quick updates. By the way, there is some housekeeping I need to do. If you have a red Ford Focus, your lights are on. Everybody say, hey, red Ford Focus guy. We love you, buddy. We love you. All right, so some other business that I just want to share with you. Just update you and thank you for praying for us. You know, back on January 1, it was a Sunday, I just began to share with you guys some vision of what God's doing in our church in this season and some things that God is calling us to in future seasons. And just announced and asked you guys to prayerfully support our staff and our leadership as we kind of begin to prayerfully dig into a couple of real significant things that we believe God's calling us to in 2017. One, the plans for renovating our existing facility. And two, the process of seeking God for a new name for our church. And let me tell you, I understand how significant both of those things are. And so I just want to quickly update you and just thank you for praying for us. And last week, we've been meeting with an architect firm here in Lawrence, and they are doing an amazing job at helping ask us questions about what God's doing and what our facility needs to look like to help us accomplish the vision that God has put in our hearts. And just this last week, they were bringing materials and showing us carpets and tiles and colors and everything. So there's progress being had on that front. Thank you for prayerfully supporting us as we're walking into that. And I'll be excited at some point in the next month or two to begin to bring some details and cast some vision to you guys and begin to engage you in that process. And similarly in the prayerful, and can I tell you, I don't have to say how important that process is regarding the future name of our church. And I want to ask you to continue, please, prayerfully supporting myself and our eldership. We don't want a good idea, and we're not doing this because it's an idea of man. We're seeking to hear the Holy Spirit of God for what he's speaking and what he's leading us to in this season and in the future life of our church. So thank you for praying for us. Will you commit to do that for us? There's some significant things that we're walking into. And again, we'll be excited to begin to just share some things with you in the coming months in the timing of God, not in the timing of man. Amen. So my title of my message this morning and a new series that we're going to begin for the next few weeks is Revival is Blank. And we're going to begin to fill in some things, because one of the things that you hear me say often is that God is calling us to a revival that is characterized by many people being saved, many people being healed, many people being set free, many people being strengthened in God's word and strengthened to the family of God and to relationships. And not just strengthened, but then moving forward in God's unique and specific purposes and calling and plan for every person's life. Because how many of you know God? You hear me say it often, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. You're not an accident. You're born for such a time as this. God's got some stuff that he needs you to do to reveal Jesus to a community that desperately needs a touch from God and a touch from heaven. So we're believing for this revival, and it's going to be known and characterized by those things. And so revival is an opportunity for us to say, what is revival? What's it going to look like? What's it going to take for us to begin to experience? And hear me this morning. This is something that is intended to be experienced and enjoyed personally and corporately. This isn't just about the vision or direction of a church. This is about something that God's made possible, and he desperately desires for you to experience. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, this is for you. Look at your other neighbor that was your second choice and say, it's for you too. So revival is, and I began to just search and just look practically, and I came across some definitions for revival. Some things that revival is, let's talk about. Some things that revival isn't, let's talk about. Revival is, and these are just dictionary definitions copied and pasted from the internet, so it has to be true. Definitions of revival: an improvement in the condition or the strength of something. An instance of something becoming popular, relevant, active, or important again. A reawakening of activity and fervency. A restoration to physical, mental, or spiritual life, vitality, and success. Come on, how many of you think that sounds like something that you want to be a part and you want to be about? So sometimes it's also helpful, as we say, what is revival? Sometimes it's helpful to kind of create some context by deciding and discovering and discussing what it's not. And here's some things that revival is not. Revival's not just an event. Revival's not just a conference. Revival's not just a tent meeting. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that God's made possible, and he desperately wants you to experience and enjoy. Luke 17:21 says, nor will they say, see here or see there. Indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And he's not just talking about me. He's talking about you. Listen, the culture of earth, the culture of this earth that God has placed us in, is supposed to continually and increasingly become more like the culture of heaven. Because of Jesus revealed, because of life revealed, because of hope revealed, because of freedom revealed in you and in me. And it's all because of Jesus. Listen, revival is not just an event. How many of you are familiar with that terminology as it refers to revival? Like we're having a revival. We're having ourselves a revival. We rented a tent and we're putting it outside on our parking lot and we're calling people to a revival. Now, let me tell you, we might do some of those things, and those are good things. But when we limit revival to just an event, a conference, or a tent meeting, when it's something that we just put on a calendar, we visit it, and then we go back to our normal lives. That's oftentimes what happens. I've been there and done that. I bought the t-shirt. Revival is intended to be something that's ongoing. It's intended to be something that's inside you. It's intended to be something that is fueling and engaging you to what we talk about often, the fully alive and shining brightly in God's purposes kind of life. That's the life that he has for you and for me. Revival's real time. One of the things that, one of the traps that the enemy sets for so many people and they get caught up in is this perpetual someday syndrome. Someday God's going to move. Someday God will do it. Or God, if you'll do this, then I'll step in. Then, you know, we're always pushing the things that God wants to do, the dreams that God has put in your heart, the ways that God wants to use you. We're always pushing it out. Someday, someday, someday. Listen, the kingdom of heaven is near, Jesus said. Starting with John the Baptist, he said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then further on in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus himself began to preach. It says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is here. It's real time. Don't get caught in the perpetual someday syndrome. Someday I'll give. Someday I'll serve. Someday I'll focus. Someday I'll read. Someday I'll pray. Someday I'll... Come on, God wants to get you going right now. God has healed your past. He's healed your past so that you can live fully alive today and so that you can have hope for the tomorrow of God. He's an ever-present in a time of need, ever-present help in a time of need. And listen, I don't know about you, but I want all of the life that God's made possible for me. I don't want to stop short. I don't want to get stuck. I don't want to hold back. If it's God and it's in this book, and I want it in my life. All right, so those are some things that revival is and that revival isn't. And today the blank that I'm going to fill in with for you this morning is something that God's been prophetically speaking to me about, and I referenced it earlier. It's revival is atmosphere. Revival is atmosphere. There's an atmosphere for revival. You guys remember when Jesus was in Nazareth? And in other places in the New Testament, it says he healed them all, but then what happened when he got to Nazareth? There was an atmosphere in Nazareth, the way they perceived Jesus, the way they talked about Jesus, the way they viewed Jesus. And what does the Bible say? It kept Jesus from doing the fullness of the miracles that he wanted to do in that place. There was an atmosphere over that place. There was an atmosphere over that town that actually, it sounds crazy, but it's true. Go read it for yourself. It hindered the work of God there. Atmosphere is important. There's an atmosphere over our city. There's an atmosphere over our church and the other churches in this city. There's an atmosphere over your life. There's an atmosphere over your heart. There's an atmosphere over your mind. Atmosphere is important. God responds to atmospheres. Listen, God is everywhere. But you felt that this morning when the people of God were gathered together at praising God with all their heart and might, all their mind, heart, soul, and strength, and spirit, and truth as God is looking for us to worship him in, there's an extra special, tangible, felt presence of God that's here. How many of you felt it? God responds to atmosphere. We respond to atmosphere. Listen, you might not even realize it, but you respond to atmospheres. Listen, if there's two restaurants that serve basically the same food for basically the same price, you're going to pick the one that has the better atmosphere. We respond to atmosphere. Most times, there's even a value that's placed on atmosphere. Most times, what I said just then is really not going to be true. You're going to pay for the nicer atmosphere. It can be the same food. It can be similar service. It can be on the same block, but there's a different price. There's a different value that's associated with a different. That was you guys, yeah. Come on, help me out. Atmosphere. Atmosphere is important. We respond to atmosphere. Listen, in sports, you Jayhawk fans, come on, I count myself among you. I should have taken a picture. I should have taken a selfie of myself yesterday wearing my Kansas t-shirt covered up by my Josh Jackson jersey. You can sense when the atmosphere of a game begins to shift. Come on, you can. You can sense when it begins to shift. There's something that can be felt in the atmosphere. And you know it's true. Chip Kiefer knows it's true. As he's a manager for the Jayhawks basketball team, there's an atmosphere. You can sense when the game begins to shift, and we call it momentum, right? Like the momentum begins to shift. You can sense where it's like, man, the momentum has turned away from the Jayhawks into the other team. Our shots aren't falling. Our guys aren't running down the court. Something's got to shift and change. And some of you find yourself in life that way. You feel like the game has passed you by. You feel like your opponent is just creating an insurmountable lead upon you. And I'm here to announce to you today that there's an atmosphere that's about to begin to shift over your heart. There's an atmosphere that God wants to shift over your life. There's an atmosphere that God wants to begin to connect you to cause you to begin to live out with momentum. Come on, if you're going to put your hands together, let's all do it for Jesus. Come on. There's an atmosphere. Come on, coaches, discern it. And Dickie Vitale, he recognizes it when he's calling out the game on ESPN, you know. He can sense when a team's gone on an 8-0 run or a 12-0 run, and then they turn the ball over. And what does he say? I'm about to do a Dickie V impersonation, dear God. He says, get a tag, get a T.O., baby. They need a T.O. They need a T.O., baby. That's dangerous, man. I my wife knows I can offend multiple cultural groups with one impersonation, you know. Some of you need a timeout. Some of you need to just, I mean, that's what God's doing today. He's saying, okay, come on. Because here's the thing. Some of you really are in some situations and some circumstances that are causing pressure and anxiety and fear and doubt about, is God really who he says he is? Is God really going to do what he said he's going to do? Today in the spirit, God is coming. He's just saying, I'm calling a timeout and I'm calling you into the huddle of God. I'm calling you into the people of God. And like a good coach, come on, as good a coach as you can find, God is way better. And he calls you into the huddle and he begins to remind you. He begins to speak some things. He begins to give you some strategies. He begins to call out a play. He begins to set you up to be in position to score again. And it cuts off that flow of momentum that the enemy's had in your heart and in your life and over your marriage and over your mind. Come on, some of you today in your marriage, you need a timeout. Some of you need the Holy Spirit to just come and just say, enough is enough. Some of you, it's important, it's urgent, because the progress of your life, the momentum of your life is not headed in the direction that God intends it to. Today, the grace of God is present to say, I'm calling a timeout. I'm calling you into the huddle, and I'm going to begin to speak over your life. I'm going to begin to strengthen you again. God's healed your past so you can live today fully alive, and you can have hope for what God desires to do tomorrow. Revival is atmosphere, and atmosphere is important. We live in a natural atmosphere, and there's a spiritual atmosphere. The atmosphere over your life, the spiritual atmosphere over your life will determine much of the course of your life. Listen, we learn how to discern. We just talked about it. We learn how to discern spiritual atmospheres, Jesus, or natural atmospheres, rather. Jesus rebuked people and the disciples in Luke chapter 12. He said to the crowd in verse 54 and verse through verse 56, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. When the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. Another translation said, it's going to be a scorcher like July in Kansas. And it is. And he says, hypocrites, another translation says, foolish ones, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Some of you need to begin to discern the seasons and the times and the atmospheres over your life. You've been so caught up in it for so long, you don't even realize the atmosphere over your heart or over your mind or over your marriage or over your finances or over your family. And he's graciously rebuking them, saying, you've learned how to discern natural things. You can feel the momentum shift when the Jayhawks are playing on TV. You can even feel it through the TV. But he's saying, I'm calling you to become sensitive in your spirit, to begin to discern the atmosphere over your heart and your mind and your life and your marriage and your family. In every person, in you and in your neighbor and in your spouse and in me, there are seeds of destiny. Turn back to Matthew chapter 13 while I'm sharing this. Turn back to Matthew chapter 13. There are seeds of destiny, potential, and purpose in your life. Every one of you. Many of them never spring to life, or they fade away, or they fail to produce the fullness of the fruit that God intended for those seeds to spring up and produce, because they aren't presented, positioned, and maintained in the right atmosphere. Matthew 13, verse 1 and verse 8 said this: That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake, and somebody said, amen. Large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, and again, somebody said, amen. And sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Come on, besides me, we got any farmers in the house? this morning. Come on. There's a farmer right there. Where's Jason at? There's a farmer. There's a farmer right there. Come on, put your hands together for the farmers. They grow what you eat. They grow what you eat. You should be thankful for people willing to get up early and stay up late and work hard like they work. So it says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed, and some of these seeds, and this is a parable, God's saying, this is how the kingdom of God is like. Some of the seeds fell on a rocky path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Listen, this is prophetic language for some of how you feel in some places in your life today. Still others fell on good soil, the fertile soil of God's kingdom, the fertile soil of a heart that submitted and surrendered and growing in God. Some fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them here. There are seeds of destiny, potential, and purpose in the life of every believer. Some of it you're not experiencing because you haven't placed those seeds in the right atmosphere. Atmosphere is important. Atmosphere is important. You know, I'll close with this, and can I go ahead and ask our worship team to come up and prepare to lead us in a song? I want to share with you guys this prophetic word that God spoke to me last Sunday morning as we were praying and seeking God for our services and for you guys. And you remember last Sunday morning what happened? It snowed. It was beautiful, right? Like big, beautiful snowflakes. You remember that? And I was driving to the church, and I really wanted to shift my truck into four-wheel drive. But it wasn't sticking, and there wasn't enough yet to even need to consider that. One of the reasons is it was snowing, and I looked at the thermometer in my pickup truck all the way from my house all the way to this amazing church, and it was 37 degrees, but snow coming down. And I recognized it, and then as we began to pray that morning, the Holy Spirit just began to speak to my heart, and he began to remind me, listen, I'm kind of like a weather nerd, like a meteorological geek. There my brother right there is too, I guess. Either that or you had a question. But I'm kind of a weather nerd. Like if I wasn't a preacher, I'd probably be a weatherman on TV. Or probably radio. I'd probably have like a face for radio. But I love it. Like, I grew up in the Texas Panhandle chasing storms, you know, and in the Texas Panhandle, it's as flat, and you can see as far as the eye can see. You can see these thunderheads going up on the horizon in the western sky, just like Jesus talked about. You can see them rolling in, and my brother and I, we would get in our old beat-up brown Chevy Suburban, looked like a big box on wheels, you know, and we would drive around. We would go chase storms, you know, and we would try to see tornadoes, and we would drive through hailstorms and things. We were weather nerds. So I've studied meteorology, and I saw it snowing in 37 degrees. We began to pray and call. We're praying to the Lord over the atmosphere of our services and over what God wanted to do in our hearts that day. And the Holy Spirit just began to remind me and said, it was snowing and it was 37 degrees. And I began to remember some of the things I've learned as I've studied weather. And there's an atmosphere that is over the earth that affects the type of precipitation that falls to the earth. There's an atmosphere in an unseen place that affects the type of precipitation that makes it to the earth. It can be 40 degrees and snowing based on this atmosphere. It could also be 12 degrees and raining. Some of you have seen that in Kansas. Based on that atmosphere that's above the earth, here's what God began to speak to me. The atmosphere that's above your life determines a lot of what makes it from heaven into your life. The atmosphere over your home, over your marriage, over your heart, over your family, over your insert every area of life, there's an atmosphere that dwells there. And the atmosphere that's there affects what makes it into your life from heaven. God continued to just unpack it for me. He began to just show me other things that I've learned There's times where you can look at the radar and it looks like it's raining or snowing like crazy, but you go outside and nothing's happening. In that instance, it's not the temperature, it's the saturation of the atmosphere. There's a dry place. There's a dry level. And if you, and I get into the forecast and I actually read the forecast, you know, behind the forecast, and they'll talk about it. They'll say the mid-level atmosphere must become saturated before the precipitation will begin to make it to the ground. Some of you, there's a dry place over your mind. There's a dry layer over your heart. There's a dry place over your marriage. There's a dry place over your dreams that are keeping the rain from heaven that's intended to come and water the seeds of purpose and destiny and life. And today, I want us to respond to God, and I want some of you to even come forward as we begin to worship in this song. And I believe God's going to begin to saturate the dry places so that the things that God intends to make it from heaven into your life, you begin to experience and enjoy in a fresh way or in a new way. Listen, rain doesn't last part of your meteorological lesson, and then we'll get on to worshiping and receiving from God. Did you know this? Rain doesn't start in heaven. Rain starts on the earth. Moisture that's here on the earth close to the surface is heated up by the sun, and it begins to evaporate and rise into the sky, where it begins to gather in the form of clouds. And when those clouds become so heavy as such they can't contain what is rising up from the earth, it begins to fall in the form of rain back to the earth, to water the earth, to accomplish the purposes of God. Some of you, there's a dry layer that needs to become saturated by prayer and by worship, by the presence of God, by time in the presence of God, by time in God's word. Some of you are being called back to God's word. Maybe you once were a student of God's word, and you were spending time in God's presence, enjoying God's word. Some of you, God's calling you to dust off your Bible or load an app on your phone, sign up for some podcast. There's some of you are God's calling you back to the lifestyle of prayer and praise and God's presence that saturates the atmosphere over your life so that what God intends to reach into your life can begin to make it once again. Thank you, God. Just stand to your feet this morning, and I want the worship team to lead us in this song. And as they do, here's what I want to ask you to do. In fact, as you're standing up, it's as good a time as any. Listen, this is a place of grace and grace that compels us to grow in God. If you have experienced a dry season in your life, if some things that you believe with all your heart that God intends to have flowed into your life have evaporated before they've been able to reach into your life and come and water your soul and come and water the seeds of purpose and destiny in life that God's invested and sown in you. If that's you this morning, there's been a dry place. You felt a separation from the things that God wants to bless you and wants to lead you in. If that's you this morning, I just want you to be faithful and bold and just begin to make your way out from your seat this morning. Come on, there should be many of us responding to this, I believe. Begin to just make your way to the front. This is just a place to respond to God in faith. It's a place to take a step of action and say, God, I'm recognizing that that's been the environment over my life. I'm recognizing that the atmosphere over my heart and my life has not been conducive to the rain of heaven making it into my life. And I'm stepping forward in a way this morning to say, I want you to begin to saturate me once again. I want you to begin to shift the atmosphere over my heart and over my life once again. Maybe you once experienced the rain of heaven and the life of God, and you've been cut off, or you've been distracted, or you've been busy, and today stepping forward represents to God in faith. God, I'm repositioning myself back in the atmosphere where you can begin to flood into my life, where you can begin to rain into my life, where the things that you desire for me to experience from heaven that have been cut off or have been evaporated, I can begin to enjoy them and experience them and walk forward in them once again. Come on, God has good things for every precious person. So the team is going to begin to lead us in this song where we're calling out to God, Lord, rivers of living water, come and flow in me, come and flow in me, come and flow in me. And as we sing this morning, I want to leave the opportunity and the invitation open. If God begins to stir your heart, if God begins to quicken your mind, just step out from where you are. You can receive where you are. Don't get me wrong. You can receive right where you stand this morning. But sometimes there's something special to stepping out. There's something significant about stepping out and coming forward and saying, God, with intentionality, I'm responding to your word. The word that the rain that you're sending from heaven, I'm responding. I'm receiving it today. I'm in faith. Let it accomplish like your word says in Isaiah 55 and Isaiah 58. Let it accomplish what it's intended to accomplish and not return to you void. I'm apprehending it. I'm stewarding it. I'm grateful for it. I'm seeking it. I'm calling upon you for it, God. I want revival in my life. I need revival in my heart. I need revival in my home. And I understand that I can't stir up the emotions enough to do it. It's got to be the spiritual rain of a good God flowing down from heaven into my life, washing me clean and bringing rivers of living water and watering the seeds of God in my life. So come on, let's worship. The invitation remains open to step forward and to receive from God this morning. Come on, God. Wash us, cleanse us, fill us, revive us today. In Jesus' mighty name.